fire rescue, EMS, law enforcement. These are the three components of public safety. And those who answer the call are the first responders. Welcome to another episode of Five Alarm Task Force, news and issues for today's first responders with your host, Steve Green. Five Alarm Task Force presents some of the best instructors and mentors in public safety today to educate, elucidate, and entertain. No topic is out of bounds, and every opinion has value. Five Alarm Task Force is pleased to welcome our new sponsor, Insight Fire Training LLC, your provider for the best fire service thermal imaging training, and our promotional partner, Dalmatian Productions, the Firehouse Tribune, and our new promotional partner, Chief Miller Products and Sites, Hennessy Distributing, your source for the cool towel, the Firefighter Cancer Foundation, fighting to extinguish firefighter cancer since 2004, the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, and the 2018 Great Florida Fire School. Remember, our ultimate goal is for you to be safe and return home after every call. So insert those earphones or turn up those speakers. The 5 Alarm Task Force is being dispatched right now. New technology for the fire service seems to appear almost every day, and that technology demands a learning curve, especially if we're talking about thermal imaging cameras. That's where Insight Fire Training LLC is your best bet. With an excellent reputation across the U.S., Insight Fire Training will meet all your TIC training needs. Their curriculum is peer-reviewed and has been used internationally. Their instructors are Level 1 thermography certified, and they have taught in 33 states and 4 countries. Their courses run from introductory to training the trainers. Courses are available online, for the classroom, classroom hybrid, and even live fire. Insight Training LLC is proficient in over 40 thermal imaging cameras, so you feel confident they will know your make and model. Best of all, programs are customized to your specific needs, and their cadre of fire service veterans are vetted craftsmen of Project Kill the Flashover. They are so proficient that they have trained TIC manufacturers on how to best use and sell their own product. That's Insight Fire Training LLC. Look them up on InsightTrainingLLC.com, your best bet for TIC training. Would you like to meet up with Andy and the team from Insight Training? Well, here's their upcoming schedule. December 9, 2018, Insight Training LLC will be hosting an 8-hour live fire training event in cooperation with York County Fire Department. Instructors Andy Starnes, Terrence Shoemate, and Thomas Anderson will lead this session. Please contact Training Officer Omar Casso for registration details at area code 305-281-2222 or via email at omar.casso, K-A-S-S-O, at yorkcountygov.com. February 6th through the 8th, Texas Association of Fire Educators with Sean Blumaker of Max Firebox. More details to follow. February 12th, 2019, Tactical Thermal Imaging, Enhancing Fireground Strategies and Tactics, sponsored by FD Tactics Training. Details to follow. February 28th, 2019, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., Max Firebox Burn and Learn Thermal Imaging Training at Mount Pleasant Volunteer Fire Department in North Carolina with instructors Terrence Shoemate and Thomas Anderson. Details to follow. March 6th through 9th, 2019, Louisiana Instructors and Firefighters Training Conference. The registration opened November 1st. Brotherhood on the Bayou will host some amazing fire service leaders, Mike Dugan, Mark Von Appen, Sean Blumaker, and Andy of Max Firebox and KTF. Don't miss this one. We will be teaching 7 4-hour sessions from the 6th through the 9th. April 9th through 13th at FDIC 2019, a general conference presentation that will cover this often confusing and complex areas of thermal imaging from purchasing to policy. This is not a sales presentation. It is an educational program that is designed to assist firefighters in understanding the specifications of fire service thermal imaging camera and how that will affect their ability to perform on the fire ground. Insight Training LLC, your best bet for TIC training. We want to take a moment to tell you about one of our great promotional partners, the Firehouse Tribune. The Firehouse Tribune is an emergency services web-based platform where individuals can learn, train, and share ideas and experiences. In life, both on duty and off, we live by one creed. Excellence is a habit, not a goal. Interested? Find them on Twitter at FH Tribune and visit their website at www.thefirehousetribune.com. Remember to always work hard, stay safe, and live inspired.
Welcome to Chief Miller. Chief Miller operates the largest social media page dedicated to the men and women of the fire service from around the world. Check him out on Instagram at Chief_Miller. Find him on Twitter at Chief_Miller. And check out the website where you can find Chief Miller Apparel at ChiefMillerApparel.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Five Alarm Task Force News and Issues for Today's First Responders. I'm your host, Steve Green. We hope you're all well and eager to listen to another episode of our podcast. We'd like to remind you that you can find our podcasts, our entire library of our podcasts, on our website at www.dalmatianproductions.tv, as well as on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or your favorite podcast aggregating and publishing service. When you visit our homepage on the website, please remember to sign up for our newsletter so you'll be the first to know about new episodes, new blog posts, and other Dalmatian news. And if you do listen to us on iTunes, please remember to rate us with 5 stars. That helps raise our ranking and assists others in finding us more quickly. And of course, be sure to like us on Facebook at DalmatProd or at DalmatProdFire. And being the holiday season, you may want to share some gifts with friends and loved ones. Why not get them a gift from Five Alarm Task Force? Visit our friends at Teespring with our storefront at bit.ly/DalmatStore, capital DALMAT, capital STORE, and choose from several t-shirts or mugs. They will wrap them and send them out to you. And remember, a portion of the net proceeds goes to the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation. Today, we're bringing you this podcast from Canada. We have our guests are from the Toronto area, and it's a company called Fire Rain. My guests are Quincy Emmons, President and Chief Brand Officer. Quincy has more than 21 years of firefighting experience with Stone Mills Fire Department, currently serving as a captain and certified trainer facilitator. He has previous business experience, having operated a successful fundraising organization for 12 years, developing fundraising programs for various charities. The team Quincy led maximized fundraising dollars, met and surpassed fundraising goals, and helped the associated charities to build their brand awareness. Quincy is one of the founders of Fire Rain. Also joining us today is Peter Sells. He is the Chief Fire Operations Officer. Peter has 32 years of fire protection experience, including 23 with Toronto Fire Services, 14 of which were as a District Chief of Professional Development. Peter has worked for the past 9 years as a fire protection management consultant, providing strategic planning and operational consultancy to emergency response organizations across Ontario, in the Canadian Arctic, and in the Middle East. He has contributed to many fire service textbooks, has authored dozens of magazines, articles, and blogs for fire service industry publications, and has spoken to industry and academic audiences across Canada, the USA, Europe, and the Middle East. Peter is also one of the founders of Fire Rain and does hold an MBA. So, gentlemen, it's a pleasure to welcome you. I know we were jumping around to try to get this all scheduled, and I'm pleased that we were able to put it together. And I think what's important first is we need to tell our guests what Fire Rain is. And by the way, Rain is spelled, for this company, R-E-I-N. Let's tell them why and what it is, please.
Okay. First of all, thank you very much, Steve, for the invite. And we're very excited to talk to you today. Fire Rain, R-E-I-N, as in you are reining in the fire. You're pulling back on the reins and holding the fire back. That's our little pun within our corporate name.
All right.
What we are doing is we are producing Our main product, which is Fire Rain Eco Gel, and Eco Gel is a firefighting water additive that creates a hydrogel. You can think of a hydrogel as being something like hand sanitizer kind of consistency, or the consistency of ketchup or mustard.
Sure.
Which comes out of the end of the firefighting nozzle, and instead of simply running away like water does, it stays in place. It sticks and stays in place on walls, on ceilings, on furniture. And by doing that, it creates a barrier against oxygen. And because the gel is still going to be 95 to 97% water, it continues to cool as well. So if your listeners are familiar with the fire triangle, we're knocking off two sides of that triangle by reducing the temperature and excluding oxygen from the burning process.
Okay, that makes sense. What is the compound made out of?
What we've done is when we started doing this, we made it our mission, if you will, to stay 100% bio-based, 100% natural ingredients. And so what it's made of is agriculturally sourced, bio-sourced oils, starches, gums, and that's about all I can tell you at this point.
Okay.
We've done, it's been about a 5-year process for us at this point.
Okay. Well, I understand there's proprietary information, certainly entitled to that. So the question is, what brought you to look to do this? I mean, both of you have fire experience, and both of you have fought lots of, you know, relative number of structure fires and saw what would happen on the scene and what worked, what didn't work, what type of application, the concept of flow path and fast water, et cetera. What brought you to the point of coming up with Fire Rain initially?
Well, Steve, initially I was working on another project with another firefighter friend, and we were looking at water additives. We came across some gel technologies, and being a small town firefighter, I thought this is really going to help us with our water supply issues and just the ability to knock the fire down faster. When I started looking into the gels and the other foams and really digging deep into the what was really in there, I learned or felt that as a firefighter, I was being lied to. I was, you know, by the salesmen that were coming around with, you know, our product is biodegradable, therefore it's environmentally safe. When I started looking into that quite a few years ago, that's when I was shocked. And then thought, oh, maybe we could do something that was safe. And so I started working with the other founders here, and that's how we started off.
Interesting. Quincy, as you and I talked about on our phone call back several weeks ago, is that the first thing that I thought of when I saw this first mark was the original, I guess, gel that couple of firefighters created out in the U.S. West, I think it was out in the Arizona or New Mexico area, that was made from used baby diapers. And this was the gel that you could spray on, had been purified, but you could spray now this compound on the outside of your home if you had a wooden home or a home that you were afraid to burn or on your roof. And this would protect it for about an hour from being impinged upon above by a fire. And there was a demonstration with a using a propane torch to put the fire on it. And I was thinking, well, I hope there's not baby diapers involved again, because no matter what you tell people, I mean, tell them you're using used baby diapers to protect their home, there might be a slight aversion to that fact, no matter how biologically biodegradable they might be. But it sounds like this is something unique. Where did the... what I'm getting this, I guess, Peter, from you is that once you saw these other products that you weren't as convinced that they were what they were said they would be, that you were still looking for a product that could do what the goal was, but just safer and be more true to the cause of being 100% safe, 100% bio, and 100% eco-friendly.
Well, yes. When I was the chief at the Toronto Fire Academy, whenever there was a new product that somebody wanted to show or wanted to test or wanted the fire departments to know about, that would be a location where they would bring it, because we had the ability to, we're pretty much right downtown Toronto, just in the East End, and very accessible for people to come and see a demonstration. And I got a little bit jaded, I'll be frank, because a lot of these products had extremely ambitious claims in terms of their efficacy, and the explanations as to how they worked were like right down into the molecules, right? You're not going to be able to get your message across to firefighters if you're speaking in terms of quantum mechanics, right? Which is probably where it was. And essentially I would, politely arrange these demos and attend them and then put the information into the hands of the right decision makers within the department and then move along, basically just fulfilling my job function. But I never saw anything that to me made a tremendous leap versus what was already on the market. I mean, there's a lot of firefighting foams and other additives on the market that give them their due. They're all quite effective at what their function is in terms of extinguishing fires. The problem is, what do you do with them afterwards? And your comments regarding the used baby diapers, that may sound kind of gross, but the real problem there isn't any biological material that might still be remaining on the diapers. It's the polymers and the other chemicals that are involved in making that diaper material super absorbent. So when you got those super absorbent polymers in place, there is really no way to make that stuff in such a way that it's safe for the environment. Beware of certain words. Biodegradable means that over time, nature will grind something down, chemically, bacteria and other processes, and eventually that thing will disappear. Well, I'm holding a little marker pen in my hand right now, and it's biodegradable. You and I are biodegradable. Your cell phone is biodegradable if you've got 10,000 years to spare.
Right.
So in and of itself, biodegradability doesn't really mean much. The tendency in industry, and not just in firefighting, is to make claims that can be defended literally. So if somebody says something is environmentally safe, that's a fairly ambiguous claim, but it's defensible if it's safer than a previous alternative or the last year's addition or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. What we've done is to essentially ignore all of that and stick to the mission of making sure that everything that goes into EcoGel is 100% bio-based, generally regarded as safe. GRAS is another category that you'll see in product listing, and everything that we have is generally regarded as safe. Both Underwriters Laboratories and the U.S. Department of Agriculture have certified our EcoGel as 100% bio-based. I don't know any other way to say it other than to illustrate that the effect of spraying EcoGel into the environment has exactly the same impact as dropping a bunch of carrots in the forest.
Okay. That's a good point. especially because, you know, as we both know, that right now we are all of us in the fire service, both U.S. and Canada and around the world, are fighting the battle against cancer. We're finding out a lot of things that we used to work with were very damaging to us that we didn't know about, especially we're talking about the original AFFF, from which was my time back in the 70s and 80s. Now we're learning about new products that are being made, the way they're being manufactured. We're seeing this in the type of fires that we're fighting today. It used to be where you had 7 to 10 minutes to get to a fire after the alarm. It was just moving from the incipient stage then. And now today we know we have maybe 3 to 5 minutes, if we're lucky, to get there. And a lot of that's because of this attitude by manufacturers that to make the money, we'll produce, if it isn't out there already, we'll make it and we'll put put anything we need to into it to make it and sell it and make money for the stockholders, and that's all we care about. And of course now we find out, of course, the penalty that those of us who accepted the risk and took the oath to protect lives and property are paying a heavy toll for that. But we have some great people, as a matter of fact. Next week I'll be interviewing again for the second time and for a 6-month follow-up with members of the medical team from the University of Miami Sylvester Comprehensive Care Centers about their work that they're doing right on the front lines with preventing firefighter cancer here in the U.S. and in Canada. So the question is, with everything bio-based in this EcoGel, and knowing that, even without telling us specifically the chemical natures, which we don't have to, but with the declarations from UL and from, the second one was the FDA?
The U.S. Department of Agriculture.
U.S. Department of Agriculture. Are you sure that the product is going to be totally non-toxic, non-carcinogenic to firefighters when it's used in the hot zone? Or even they're exposed to it even during training?
Yes, it's a 100% food grade ingredients. Actually, when we were doing the research and development, some of our tests required, if we ran low on material, we just made a trip to the grocery store. when we were sitting around to develop this with the lab that we contracted, we kind of tongue in cheek said, it needs to be safe enough to eat. And then the lab technician said, we think we can do that. So not only is it food grade ingredients, it's also because of the gel. It has a shear thinning technology where it moves for a little bit, about 10 to 15 seconds, and then it'll set in place. So now you're also controlling your fire water runoff, which is key. So now we're not getting into water systems or into the ecosystem.
Okay. So that begs another question, and we can either go into it now or we can wait till the next segment, but it would beg the question of what happens when we get it on our gloves or our turnout gear, and if there's a runoff, as a limited runoff, where then gelifies, solidifies to some extent, is it the fire service that would, get rid of it from that point? Is it the person whose fire we responded to? I like what I'm hearing, especially the safety side of it. I think that was the real thing I was concerned about. And I think that most of my firefighter listeners are going to be concerned about that. And I think you've given us a great answer to that. But I think another part of it is, okay, in the day-to-day workings, we use that at a fire and we got this stuff all over our gloves or our turnout coat and bunker pants. What do we do? Yes, we know we're supposed to clean it for the other thing, the cancer thing. We know that. But, how would they maintain it there? And then what about the scene where you don't have the runoff into the sewer system? So it congeals and stands up, I guess, is the best way of putting the people that understand it, like a jello. And what happens with it then? Do you want to take the time now, or do you want to come back and we'll address that in the second segment?
We can deal with that now, since okay. It's fresh. The cleanup on this is essentially wash it away. If it's on your gloves, your gear, your boots, it might be all over you if you've been in there aggressively fighting a fire. just hose yourself down, or you know, have yourself washed down. It's as if you were covered in pancake batter, you know.
Okay.
Now I hesitate to tell firefighters that, or they're going to be looking for the maple syrup.
Yeah, no licking.
But, there's nothing in this that is going to harm the firefighter. Is going to harm their gear. Is going to harm the wastewater systems. And if it's in a thick state, because you know, you're using it at, you know, for structural firefighting, you're probably using it at around 3%. And as I mentioned earlier, it's going to have the consistency of like a ketchup or a mustard. Then it should be fairly manageable in terms of the runoff. You could shovel it up. You could vacuum it up, or you could just add more water to it. It's going to dilute down thinner and run down the storm drains.
Oh, okay.
As far as who does that, I don't see any change in responsibility compared to who does it now. So depending on the fire, depending on the site, is the fire under investigation? So you kind of have to leave things alone until the investigators are through with it. If it's the fire department or the insurance company or some hazmat rehab company, whoever's doing your cleanup now will be doing your cleanup with EcoGel.
Okay.
It's just the cleanup that they're doing will be so much safer.
All right. That's good to hear. All right. I think you gave us a good basis, foundation for knowledge. And I think this will be a good place to take a break, because when we come back, let's talk about how it's actually used, the putting it into the tank, how it's mixed in the tank, when it comes out through the nozzles. Is there going to be any... is going to make a difference when it comes out, a type of nozzle that we have to use. So we'll do that when we come back in our next segment, if that's okay with you, gentlemen.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
Okay, good. All right, folks, we're going to take a break right here. We'll be back with Quincy and Peter with more information about their new product, FireRain, right after these words. Please stay tuned. The tone sound and the dispatcher announces, Stations 14 and 16, working residential structure. That was all you needed to hear. You jump up from your chair, head to the engine, and climb into the jump seat. As the cue screams, you take stock of your PPE. Bunker pants, check. Turnout coat, check. Hood, check. Gloves, check. Escape line, check. SCBA strapped on, you're ready. Upon arrival, you jump off the apparatus, grab the loops of the red crosslay, and head for the open front door where smoke is pouring out. You make sure your buddy's behind you. You crouch low and make your way inside, your trusty SCBA mask hanging on your tool belt. What? Stop everything. What the hell are you thinking? You see it's a working room and contents fire, and the smoke is banking down almost to the floor. Who do you think you are, Superman? One breath of that crap and the smoke will damage you in some way, guaranteed. All the soot, carbon, carcinogens, and other outgassing materials will enter your body through the pores on your unprotected face. Don't be the domino. The first person down that forces everyone else to change their tasks to take care of you. Always remember, face peace on. You have comrades depending on you and a family to go home to. Face peace on. No matter where we live or no matter the season, there is always work to be done that makes us sweat. Just how can we keep cool? Well, Hennessy Distributing has the answer. Cool towels. Cool towels are 100% cotton towel and pre-moistened with all natural ingredients. The best part? No water is needed. Just open your cool towel pack, remove the towel and give it a couple of shakes, and you're all set. Wrap it around your neck like a kerchief, wipe your face, arms, neck, or any exposed skin, and it is approximately 20 to 30 degrees below the ambient temperature. Wait, did it warm up? No problem. Just shake it a couple of times again, and cool towel delivers its refreshing cool touch all over again. When the cooling mixture has expired, use your cool towel as you would any cloth or rag around the house. Because it is manufactured from 100% cotton, your cool towel is 100% recyclable. For more information or to get your cool towel today, visit www.cooltowel.com or call 1-800-918-8323. Remember, you're going to work and you're going to sweat. Make cool towel your answer to keeping cool.
Cancer. Ugh. Nobody likes to hear that word. However, as firefighters, that word sure likes us. Here are a couple of facts. One, did you know that among average adults in the U.S., the cancer rate is approximately 20% in a given year? The rate for us? Over 60%. Number two, when you don't wear your full PPE, especially during overhaul, due to the heat and sweat, your uncovered skin pores are wide open, and all those carcinogens in the soot and smoke love to dive right in. Number three, not only is the rate of cancer higher in firefighters, but we get all types of weird forms of cancer. Number four, when you don't clean or change your PPE and your uniform, and you don't decon or grab a strong shower afterward, you're dragging all that cancer crap with you everywhere you go. The bays, the day room, your vehicle, even your home. Listen, our job is tough enough, and we have enough to worry about. Don't let cancer get in your way. Talk to your officers and your chief, your fire surgeon, or your personal physician. Learn what you can do to reduce your chances of dealing with a firefighter-relating cancer. Beat cancer before it beats you.
Welcome back to this episode of Five Alarm Task Force, news and issues for today's first responders. And today we are talking with Quincy Emmons and Peter Sells of the company in Toronto area called Fire Rain. It's a new water enhancement product for firefighting. We learned in the first segment about the product, how it came about, and its safety value, which is very, very safe. And that even if you have it on you, on your gear or something like that, very simply when you're coming out for either your rehab or your gross decon, just a quick wash down with a hose and it's done. It's gone. So in this segment, Quincy and Peter are going to address the concept of its use. Your department has said we want to use it and you're going to get your first delivery. And gentlemen, we'll leave it to you at that point. You come to the department, and what do we do, and what are we looking at?
So we're packaged just like your other water additives and your pails and whatnot. You give it a shake before use. Now, for your small departments, you can use a batch mix where we would just dump the appropriate amount of concentrate into a portable pond or your dump tank. Recircuit through the system until you had gel, or you can just use your standard foam eductors, as well as your traditional proportioners that are already on board your typical pumpers.
Okay, and you mentioned the first segment, somewhere around 3% is the normal usage?
Yeah, for your class A, you can run between 2 and 3%. For your wildland applications, we recommend 1 to 2%. And your class B, we get into your 3 to 6%, depending on what type of incident you have.
Now, you just said the magic word, wildland, at least for this country. And we know that you've had some terrible fires out in the Canadian Northwest, too. So I'm going to just go to an aside for a moment. Has fire rain been used in wildland firefighting in Canada?
We have used it in a couple small wildland incidents here. We're still going through our certification process for that, but we have used it in some small wildland incidents, and it was very successful.
Oh wow, that's a big breakthrough. That could really be a big help to all of us who suffer with these. That's nice to hear. All right, so let's continue. So we know how we can use...
If I could just add to that.
Sure.
Over the last couple of years, the wildland interface firefighting season has been, you know, somewhat frustrating for us. We watched several towns in Alberta go through devastation similar to what's happening in California this
right.
year. And then now with California, and I mean, how far do you want to look? Portugal, Greece, Chile, there's been wildfire problems, you know, growing over the last few years. We are itching to get involved, but there are administrative hurdles that we need to overcome before we get there.
Sure.
But it is fully within our scope and within our desire to help in those situations. And we've kind of been, frustrated that the last couple of years we haven't been able to get out there and participate.
Right. Well, one thing's for sure is that Canada has sent down, especially now we see those special planes that Canada has graciously brought down to the United States to be used on our fires, that do the scooping and then the dumping over the wildland. So we definitely appreciate all the help we get from our neighbors to the north. And when this comes through, we'll be looking for more help as well, because it sounds like it's great. All right, so we have the choice of using it, and let's talk about practicing with it at the station and then actually using it on an alarm. And when do you decide to, okay, let's add in fire rain on this fire. Let's keep it as a structure fire for right now. When would you just say, we'll just go with standard water? And then does it have an effect on our equipment, our hose, our connectors, the nozzles, et cetera?
Well, the decision of what to use, what agent to use, is always up to the incident commander. Sure. or the first on scene company officer, however your system works. But there's really, in my mind, if you've got a small fire, you're going to be putting out with a couple dozen liters of water, a few gallons of water. Maybe you can do it just with your pump tank extinguisher or booster line. But once you're going in the door with a hose line, you're better off with the gel, because the fire is going to go out faster. You're going to use less water. Plus, you've got the ability to employ some tactics. And these are still, we're learning new things about it all the time, both in terms of the reading that we're doing, and also we've got a few fire departments in our region already using the gel, and we're getting anecdotal information back from them.
Sure.
For example, if you're going to be going up to a second floor bedroom to do search and rescue, well, why not? You're taking a hose line anyway, right?
Right.
So why not gel your way in? Basically put it on a fog pattern, swirl it around as you're going in. So you're gelling the stairs, you're gelling the hallway as you're going down. Now what you've done is you've secured your means of egress. The fire, wherever it is in the house, is not going to burn your way, burn your means of egress so that, your only option left is to dive out a window. So there's really no reason not to use it. If the house is on fire, it's already going to suffer smoke and water damage. And the cleanup from that smoke and water damage is going to be the same cleanup as if you're using gel.
Right.
The exception being you've probably used less water.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, there are a few things that the gel does that you can use to your advantage. Quincy mentioned that it will run for 10 or 15 seconds. The gel has an interesting property. And I promised I wasn't going to get too scientific on you, but I'm going to use the term non-Newtonian fluid. So kids, remember that. There will be a test. It's a non-Newtonian fluid. What that means is its viscosity changes in response to pressure. So when it's just sitting there, the gel has been mixed by the proportion or whatever, it has a higher viscosity. It is thicker than water. But once pressure is applied to it by the fire pump and the motion through the hose, the viscosity of the gel drops to essentially the viscosity of water. So it flows like water. So there's no difference in terms of the amount of work that's required by the pump or the performance of any of your nozzles or appliances or master streams, wherever you're flowing through. It's flowing just like water. Once it comes out of the end of the nozzle, it's now back under ambient conditions. It's no longer under sheer pressure. So it's going to hit the wall, hit the ceiling, wherever you're spraying it. And for about 10 to 15 seconds, it will run, which allows two things. It allows it to penetrate slightly into upholstered furniture or nooks and crannies. And then it will, it creates a nice even sheet, and then it will set in place when its viscosity returns to reflect the ambient pressure. So if you spray it on a wall, essentially it's going to drip and flow for, you know, a few seconds, 15 seconds, and then set in place, creating that maybe 3/8 of an inch, half an inch barrier between the hot burning materials behind it and the oxygen on the other side. So that's the non-Newtonian flow. The other thing that you're going to find is that when you're using a, you know, you're not in necessarily in close quarters in an enclosed space, but you're flowing whether a narrow fog stream or a straight stream, and you're trying to project at a distance. Well, when you're just flowing water, the little drops of water, to coin a phrase, the little drops of water have a certain amount of momentum behind them, right? They have mass, they have surface area. And that momentum being propelled out of the hose will take them to their destination. The problem is they're very small sometimes, particularly when you're using a fog stream or towards the end of a straight stream, and you get any kind of crosswind, you end up with not a lot of coherence to your pattern at the end of the stream. Mm-hmm. Well, with the gel, what you find is that the I won't call them droplets because they're more like little gobs. So we've got some stop motion pictures of the gel coming out of a hose, and really what it looks like is little elbow macaronis coming out. They're like about that size, right? So you've got these globs of gel that have got a fairly serious amount of momentum behind them, and so they're less susceptible to drifting off from your pattern because of wind or whatever else. So you're going to get a tighter pattern, and you're going to go about 20% further on your straight stream because the stream is more coherent. So there are some performance advantages that you get used to after you've used it a bit, both in terms of the tactics that you can employ and the physical performance of your hose streams.
Okay, you mentioned one thing that brought up a question, which is when it lands on the floor or on stairs, does it add a slip danger at all? Does it make the surface a little bit more slippery than it would just with plain water?
It will be more slippery than plain water. It will not be significantly more slippery than any of the other additives that are out there, which are essentially like synthetic soaps, right?
Right.
And it certainly won't be adding any additional slip hazard once the thermometer drops down below zero. Well, below zero for us, below 32 for you.
Right.
I'm not going to pussyfoot around that. Yes, it is slippery. You have to be careful.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like from this description that this is going to be a relatively easy product for us to use. I like the idea of using it from the start. It's not like the IC or the, as you said, the first officer in has to make a decision. Well, what kind of a fire do we have? Should we use it or should we not use it? It sounds more like that, okay, we have a strong Class A structure fire going. We're not quite sure, and everything that's in there, whether it's a home, it's one thing. If it's a commercial building, hopefully you'll have done your pre-plan and you have your sheets on it. You'll know what's in there, but it sounds like it makes sense to just go with it from the start because of the advantages that it provides. If you're going to flow water, you might as well flow the additive with it because it's going to make that water work better for us, is what I'm picking up. Am I understanding it the right way?
Correct.
Okay. It just sounds like it makes sense that it's a match, that if you're going to be using water, then you use the additive to boost the abilities, enhance the abilities of the water you're flowing.
If you want to use a military term, you can think of it as a force multiplier.
Okay.
right? You've got, you know, my firefighting experience was in a, you know, major metro. So water was never a question. We always had tons of water. But when you're dealing with water that's being trucked in a rural situation,
right,
or you're relying on a dry drop out of the creek or drafting out of a pond, it's another consideration. Every 100 liters that you spray is 100 liters removed from your supply, right?
Correct.
So it's nice to know that the addition of the gel is going to double or triple or even quadruple the effectiveness of the water that you're using.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. It, like you said, it makes every drop count. Whatever.
Okay, I'm going to write that one down. We're going to put that in our on our website now.
Okay, you can send the royalties to Steve.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we got you. We got you covered.
Good, good. All right, so now let's go to the end. We're finished with our putting out the fire. We've done our overhaul. Everybody has worn their full PPE during overhaul. They didn't take it off till they got to the cool zone with rehab. That's my shtick. And now it's time for cleanup. Okay, is there any cleanup procedures more or different than normal cleanup either on scene or when we get back to the barn?
No, in regards to your pumps and hoses and nozzles, we just recommend a 10-second flush of the water running through. What differentiates us from other gels, you mentioned the super absorbent polymers, where you kind of get stuck in a hamster wheel of they just want to continue to swell and swell and swell. Because we use 100% bio-based, bio-sourced material, it eventually dilutes. So you just rinse it with water and your equipment's ready to go.
Okay. Now let's talk, since we're going to go to the classes we can use in that third segment, but let's talk about now the departments that you've been working with so far and the anecdotal information that's come back. What are some of the reactions that you've heard from those departments in the Toronto area that are using it?
Just how they're impressed with it is the big thing. We've used it on a range of structure fires, some tractor-trailer transport fires, and some wildland fires. So the wildland fires that were used, we were able to test with the MNR in the area, where they're not allowed to use water additives on the ground attack crews unless in certain areas and it's discretion of the municipality, mm-hmm. where we got permission in this case. And the incident that we monitored and assist with, they sprayed the water on, cooling the area down. Within 2.5 hours, we took a walk around again, and the area that they used only water was dry and smoking, and where the gel was applied, it was still, you still had our thin layer of gel on there, and it was dead out. You get into your structure fires, and again, the one department, it's a second in station, so it's always backing up several others, and they always leave room for the gel truck to come in now. The gel has outperformed the foam to the point where we're in talks to convert the other trucks in that department. Transport fires, we've had some impressive saves with car carriers, fully involved tractor trailer fire, where the tractor itself and two of the full-size trucks on the carrier were involved. The gel come in, stopped it. We saved the rest of the trucks on the carrier, which we have been told by multiple departments that's usually a total loss at the time that we were dispatched and arrived there. So everybody has been very impressed with how fast the gel works. Peter, do you have anything to add there?
I'll add that I'm just sort of backing up and covering a point from earlier.
Sure.
And that is that there really is no special equipment required. I think you asked us on the break about pumps, hoses, nozzles, that sort of thing.
Right.
You can use the same equipment you're using right now. You don't need a special nozzle. You don't need to make any changes to that end of what you're doing. It's going to It's not like a foam in that you need or want to have an aspirating nozzle or anything like that, because it's not entraining air, it's not creating bubbles. It's creating a gel within the hose line, and so you just use your regular firefighting equipment and your regular procedures.
Right. This evidence that you've just told us sounds pretty remarkable. It's good to hear that in those cases where they normally would expect a total loss, that they made a couple of good saves on that. And I think that's all any of us can, you know, on the job can look for, is that to try to make a save anytime we can, whether it's property or, of course, someone's life. When you mentioned the limited wildland use, is that eventually, once you're cleared, is that something that would be able to be dropped from aircraft as well? Or is it just going to be for the boots on the ground personnel and their equipment?
Well, no, we want to put it everywhere. There's no reason why it can't be dropped from the aircraft.
Wow.
It's very easy to mix. It's very miscible in the water. So it'd be a question of really two things at this point: one technical and one administrative. The technical one is we'd have to work with the people that are actually operating those aircraft, whether they're helicopters or the big planes, and get a system in place to mix it on demand. So essentially, as the water is picked up and they're making their flight to their drop, the gel is being mixed as they go. That is really not insurmountable. It's a minor problem. The more difficult problem is the administrative one, in which we need to be on a qualified products list in order to be used in those, sure, in those environments. That is on our long term. It is our goal to be used fully in the wildland environment, because again, we're effective, and the most important aspect we have is that we're not going to be putting anything in the environment that doesn't belong there, mm-hmm, that didn't actually even come from there originally. So we're really using the environment to help the environment, right? We're using nature to put out fires.
Right. One last question for this segment. You mentioned about the firehouse that was usually second due on fires in that district, and you're looking to convert another piece of apparatus. I got mixed up between just using the eductor use it from the pail, and then you mentioned that you're trying to convert another of their apparatus to full use of it. What is the difference between those two situations?
Well, we're talking about a very small fire department, so it's just the addition of the proportioner to the fire truck.
Ah, okay.
Or repair to the existing proportioner that's already there.
Okay, all right, so that answers that. All right, so again, it's still going to be a very simple thing, either with the proportioner or the eductor and what you already have on the truck. You're not going to need any new equipment, any new measurement, no guide, no new brand new tables for your friction loss that you have to memorize all over again. Yeah. So that sounds good. All right, so we're going to take a break. And when we come back in our third segment, the gentleman is going to talk about the types of fires that this product can be used on. And I think you might be a little bit surprised. We've talked about Class A fires for the most part. I think, Peter, you may have hinted a little bit at Class B, but we'll let you discuss that in detail on this in this next segment. So the more we hear, the more interesting firing becomes, I think. And I hope the listeners will look forward to hearing more about it, and look forward to having the ability to test it once everything is clear across the border. So we'll talk a little bit more about fire rain when we get back, right after these words, so please stay tuned.
You are listening to 5 Alarm Task Force, news and issues for today's first responders. You're ready to call it a night. The kids are tucked in, the lights are out, and the dog's in the den. Seems all is calm. But stop, it's not all right.
To keep you and your family safe in the event of a fire, we're advising you to close before you doze. Close your bedroom doors when you go to sleep. Why? Because closed doors dramatically decrease heat and carbon monoxide levels, which provide trapped occupants more time for help to arrive. And closed doors can slow the spread of the fire, increase oxygen levels, and decrease temperatures dramatically. You've invested in smoke and carbon monoxide alarms. You've practiced fire escape plans with your family. Now learn another important way to protect all of you. Close before you doze. Also remember, if you are able to escape, make sure the last one out closes the main door. Remember, close before you doze. This message is brought to you by the UL Firefighter Safety Research Institute, closebeforeyoudoze.org, your local fire department, and this podcaster.
Psst. Yeah, you. It's me, your heart. Listen to me. We've got to talk. High blood pressure is serious, and yours? Whoa. What happened to us? We used to be so much more active. But lately, you've been ignoring me. I know you think I'm just gonna keep ticking away forever, but you're wrong. You can do so much more to control your high blood pressure. Doing the minimum isn't doing enough. I'm under a lot of pressure and can quit whenever I want. Bet you didn't know that. But I like my job. Just treat me better. Check on me. Give me something green to nibble on every once in a while. And maybe we can do some exercise on occasion. Let's get to it. After all, we're in this together.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to this third segment of this episode of Five Alarm Task Force, news and issues for first responders. And we're talking about a new firefighting product, a additive that we can use in our water, with Quincy Emmons and Peter Sells from the company called Fire Rein, R-E-I-N. And we're learning today a lot about this product, what it can do, what makes it different than other water additives that we've heard about, or some of us have maybe seen already. And we're not talking necessarily about foams now. We're not talking about that situation, but we're talking about real strong water additive product that helps us with our, certainly with Class A. And Peter, you want to bring up now Class B in this segment, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, let's talk about Class B firefighting.
Okay, a lot of fire departments will never really have need of a Class B firefighting agent, depending on what the fire problems are in their community. Other fire departments will be almost exclusively focused on Class B. For example, if they're an airport fire department an industrial fire brigade in a petrochemical plant. So I think most firefighters are familiar with the AFFF foams and other foams that are on the market that have been developed for fighting Class B. Foams have been around for a little over 100 years. Steve, I don't know, you've been involved about 10 years longer than me. I don't know if you ever saw any protein foam out there.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Yeah. Wasn't that fun stuff to deal with?
Oh, just love taking that cap off.
So you're talking about foams that are made from leftover bits of horses and sheep and pigs just rendered down into a disgusting protein mass that when you put it in water and aspirate it, creates a nice bubbly brown mixture that sits on top of the flammable liquid. Sometime about 50 years ago, there was a big development in the synthetic foams, and there's been continuous development over those decades. So what we've got out there in the market now are a wide variety of foams that are some are general. In other words, they're to be used on essentially any flammable liquid, and some are specific to specific hydrocarbons or specific polar solvents that might be used in industry. the chemical behavior of some of the foams on some of the flammable liquids will vary, and that's why there's some specialty materials out there. But I want to stress highly that what we've produced is not a foam, it's a gel. The only difference between using our eco gel on a class A fire or a wildland fire versus a class B fire is that you're going to dial the percentage up to between 3% and 6%, and more likely you're going to be at 6%. Now, why is that? As opposed to foams, which perform by putting a nice thick fluffy layer of bubbles on top of the flammable liquid, what our gel does is it creates a resilient viscous membrane by mixing with, emulsifying with the top layer of the flammable liquids that you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. So let me explain the difference there. If you're using a foam, an AFFF is an aqueous film forming foam. So therefore you would think that it forms an aqueous film, right? Well, what that aqueous film is the bubbles start to drain down a little bit, and it produces a continuous, very, very thin layer at the bottom of the foam bubbles that is intended to exclude oxygen from the flammable liquid and create reflashes. By contrast, the resilient viscous membrane that is produced when you use EcoGel is considerably thicker. We're talking inch and a half or more snot layer, okay? It's really no other way to describe it. It's a very thick, resilient layer that will encompass the entire surface of the flammable liquid that you're applying it to. As far as the effectiveness of it, it essentially excludes oxygen very effectively, and you don't get any reflash. As opposed to foams, where you want to be very careful not to disturb that blanket once it's in place, we've done tests where we've extinguished a pan of heptane or gasoline with our gel, and deliberately disturb that membrane with a stick or a pole, and you can't reflash it. We've taken a propane torch directly to the membrane in the corners of the pan and around the middle of the pan, and you cannot get a fire to come back. That's one advantage. Another advantage is that with the most of the foams, you've got what's called a drain time. Might be a few hours, 4 hours, 6 hours. In which two things happen. The aqueous film drains off into the flammable liquid, and then the foam bubbles themselves dissipate, and you've got to reapply that foam every whatever the period of hours is. With our EcoGel, that membrane, as far as we can determine, it's going to stay in place until it is mechanically, physically removed. So it'll be there the next day, it'll be there in 48 hours, we've left a pan in place for 2 weeks, and still had the resilient viscous membrane intact on top of the flammable liquid. So it's very effective that way. The key element, though, for us, and this is becoming more and more of a problem month by month, you're starting to hear about more and more issues with surfactants. Especially in the fluorine-containing foam concentrates. There's elements called PFAS and PFOS.
Right. Right.
And they're not only problems for groundwater contamination, but because they contain a significant surfactant content, if that gets onto your skin, the purpose of a surfactant is essentially to allow chemicals to penetrate, allow chemicals to allow them access into systems so they can do whatever the function of that chemical is. An example being you've just made a nice greasy pot of lasagna or spaghetti and meatballs. Now you're washing the dishes. You're not going to effectively clean those dishes with water alone. You add a little bit of a surfactant, right, which is your dish soap.
Right.
And that dish soap allows the water and the soaps within it to penetrate, clean off those oils, clean off those greasy compounds that are on your dishes. So you don't want that on you, right? You don't want that on you at a fire, because it's going to potentially cause issues with the toxic materials that are around, you know, the soots, it's a toxic soup at a fire.
Right.
You don't want a surfactant to be allowing that stuff to more efficiently penetrate your biological systems, i.e. your body. So that's a problem that needs further study. But what is undeniable at this point is that the use of these foams over the past decades has contaminated groundwater sites. A recent article showed there was over 200 within the United States and Canada that have been identified, and some of those have been shut down. So there are ARF training sites in particular, because that's heavy foam use, that are now shut down. The National Research Council in Canada maintained a fire testing facility outside of Ottawa, 2 hours north of us, and that testing facility, their fire testing facility, was shut down because of groundwater contamination in the water table, which affected the local town. Probably most prominent at this point is that the state of Washington has already put in legislation that will restrict training with foams as of next summer, I believe, mm-hmm. and then will eliminate all use of foams in 2020. Our understanding is that other jurisdictions, American, Canadian, and international, will be following suit on that. So this has gone beyond us making a product claim. This has gone into an industry paradigm shift, to borrow a term from the 90s, in that we need to be fighting fires with something that isn't causing secondary harm to the environment. The most precious commodity in the world is water, is fresh water. Now, we're not really used to that because we've got, you know, 25% of the world's fresh water here in Canada. So, like, water is water. But when you look around the world, you can't have a town without water. And if that water becomes contaminated, then what do you do, right? You have to have some alternative source or you have to move the town. So this, we feel, is an important feature of what we're doing, and it's one of the reasons why we stuck to our guns in terms of the product development. We could have solved a lot of our technical problems easily a couple of years ago if we had decided to go into a synthetic chemical route as opposed to just completely staying 100% bio-based.
Right.
We've got it. It's ready. And we anticipate there's going to be a big uptake.
Well, that's good. I am part of a chain on Twitter and about PFAS in our gear and in the foam, as you mentioned. It has created many problems in this country. Matter of fact, even Flint, Michigan, which was in the news just a couple of years ago because of their water contamination there, had not only was it contaminated by the company that was draining their chemicals in there, but now they've also found the PFAS and PFOS chemical residue in there that was used with some sort of foam training. So the fact that the EcoGel can be used in a safe manner that won't have any repercussions, number one, on the environment, as you said, and even more importantly, on the firefighters, because as you mentioned, the surfactant creates, allows our pores open up as our temperatures go up anyway when we're doing, we're working in the fire zone. We don't need a chemical that's going to open up them even more that allows the toxins and carcinogens to enter into our system. We're sick enough with cancer and other toxic problems as it is. It's not going to break us from loving this job. It's just going to make us stronger, and we're going to do our best to beat this and do what we can. But it's absolutely exactly like you said. And to know that there is going to be a product, there is a product that can do the same job on Class B fires that those other products used to do and not have the repercussions from it, is great news for the fire service. There's no doubt about it. And for the people in general that we protect. You guys still with me there?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, good. All right. I want to make sure all
of you were on a roll there, okay. Steve. We didn't want to stop you.
Yeah. All right. I think this holds a lot of promise. Have you guys hit the market yet, the open market?
Yes, we have our early adopters out there. Like we mentioned, a few fire departments here in Canada. We've sent some samples down to a few places in the U.S. We are about to commercialize totally with distributors as well as industrial customers in 2019.
Good. Okay, that's great. Because looking forward to seeing the ads in the trade journals, reading about it there. Seeing the job it can do to help firefighters, not just in North America, but around the world, fight fires, protect lives and property, reduce the risk, their own risk in using this because they know it's a clean and non-hazardous bioproduct. That's going to be great. That's really going to be something good for the fire service. And that's what we're looking for today. Everything that brings the job that we do allows us to do it better and safely than the day before. And it sounds like EcoGel is going to be one of those products that's going to do that for us.
Yeah, we hope so. One of our taglines is prevent, protect. Okay. We're kind of borrowing on the initials, PPE there, because that's got a meaning in the fire service, honestly. But
I need you to read
prevent, protect, extinguish.
Okay, there we go. Protect. Hold on, I'm going to write that because the first time you said it, got covered over electronically. So protect.
No, sorry. Prevent, protect, prevent, extinguish.
Okay, prevent, protect, extinguish. I like that.
Yeah, and so what we mean there is in terms of prevent, if your town is, if the houses on your street are coated, the roofs even, just the roofs are coated with EcoGel, with an advancing wildfire, then it's going to prevent the loss of property. Protect, one of the other tactics that we didn't touch on earlier is protection of exposures with gel is, in a structural sense, is very, very effective. As if you're fighting a fire at 100 Pine Avenue, you want to coat down the side of 102 Pine Avenue with gel, and you've got a very effective exposure protection there. And then extinguish goes without saying. So we've got, we're covering those three bases, prevent, protect, extinguish.
All right, let me then ask one question. All right, so we're at 100 Pine Avenue, and we're protecting the house on the D side.
Okay. Sure,
okay.
Or the B side.
Yeah, or the B side. Now, are we continually spraying the water to put the gel there, or I mean, how long will the gel stand up to the heat of the fire on the B side? If the fire's on the B side of the home at 100 Pine, how long will that gel hold up against the radiant heat coming from it?
Well, you know what I'm going to say is it depends.
Depends, right? Okay.
Yeah. So. It depends on the separation between the houses, but we've done tests with small size structures, and we'll build an 8-foot cube and fill it with furniture and burn it. We've put boards in place, standing plywood boards, within a yard or two of those fires, pre-coated with gel. And they, just on that basis, they withstand the fire for, for many minutes, let's put it that way.
Wow.
So your typical home separations, if it's going to be 4 feet, 8 feet, 12 feet between the houses, you're going to do what you're going to do anyway. You're going to have somebody monitor it.
Right.
The gel is going to stay in place. If you really dial up the percentage, it will be thicker. It will be more resilient in place. And I'm not going to give you a number.
Okay. Right?
I'm not going to tell it'll be there for 60 minutes, 90 minutes. What I'm going to tell you is it's a whole lot more effective than spraying water, which runs away.
Right. That's good. Okay. So people listen to us, and now what's the website they can go to learn more about the product, see any demos you have, videos or anything like that you have about the product?
We invite anybody to come visit us at www.firerein.com. And again, it's Firerein spelled R-E-I-N. You can click the links on the page to see some videos, product information, our info at email address where you can get a hold of us. And we invite everybody to follow us on Twitter at Firerein Inc. As well on Facebook, Firerein.
Okay, Firerein on Twitter is, Firerein on Twitter is what? At Firerein Inc.
Firerein Inc.
Inc. Okay, great. Okay, well, Quincy and Peter, I can't thank you enough for spending some time with us today to talk about it. It sounds like a revolutionary product. It sounds like it's going to be a big help to the fire service in the jobs that we do. And it's going to be, it's going to be a big help to the people who live in our communities, those of us who will adopt and use this product, because it could be a somewhat of a game changer with how we fight the fire, what happens when we're done with it, and how quickly we can knock this fire down and prevent a reflash. And if this Class B continues to pan out, that's going to be great to see that we can get a real great product that's going to do even better than the earlier ones that now we're learning, unfortunately, far too late, how dangerous they've been to us and to our ecosystems. But it's nice to know there's something in the wings that's almost ready to come out that can help with that too. So my sincere thanks to both of you for your time and for the work that you've done. Pete, for your both of you have been firefighters, so to both of you for your service as brothers to the north. We'll stay in touch. We want to know when there are new developments, so always make sure you reach out and let us know when you're ready to come back on as guests again. Tell us about the new news for Firerein and EcoGel. How's that sound?
Excellent. Thank you, Steve. It was a pleasure.
Yes, thank you very much, Steve, for this opportunity. And we do look forward to speaking with you again.
Sounds great. Okay, folks, we'll be right back right after these words. Please stay tuned.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
608 to 90-10-4.
Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Ho, ho, ho! It's that holiday time again when many of us are trying to stretch every dollar to both purchase gifts for those we love and contribute what we can to the needy. This year, why not accomplish both by visiting the 5 Alum Task Force storefront with our friends from Teespring? Just head over to our site at http://bit.ly/DalmatStore with a capital D, capital S, all one word, and choose from our several t-shirts, each with a different message on the back, or one of our emblazoned mugs. Both items come in multiple colors. The good folks at Teespring will wrap them all up and send it to the address of your choice. Once you've ordered your merchandise, you can be comforted by the thought that a portion of the net proceeds of all the merchandise sold is donated to the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation. This wonderful organization helps the families of those firefighters who have made the ultimate sacrifice. What a great way to spread some holiday joy for them. So purchase some Sharp 5-Alarm Task Force gifts and help a very special charity as well. From all of us at 5-Alarm Task Force, have a safe and joyous holiday season. Did you know that 90% of American communities are served by volunteer fire departments, and that many of those departments are actively looking for more volunteers? When you hear those sirens, do you say to yourself, "Wish I could do that"? If you have the drive to serve, you can be a volunteer too. Volunteer and combo departments are always looking for new recruits. You'll be trained in the latest firefighting and rescue techniques and protecting your community at the same time. You'll be joining the ranks of over 1 million men and women who serve their cities and towns, protecting lives and property. Did you know that the founder of the first volunteer fire department was Benjamin Franklin? If old Ben can do it, so can you. Drop by your local fire department and introduce yourself. You just might know some of the folks already there. Before you know it, those volunteers will be like family. Anyone can be a volunteer, sure. It takes time and effort, but in your heart, you'll realize that it's all worth it. Want more information? Contact your local fire department or visit makemeafirefighter.org. And that wraps this episode of 5-Alarm Task Force, news and issues for today's first responders. We would like to thank our guests, Quincy Emmons and Peter Sells of the Canadian company Fire Rain, for joining us to discuss their new firefighting water enhancement product, EcoGel. Did you know you can now find us and subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and most podcast streaming services? Just search for 5-Alarm Task Force. We also want to thank our sponsor, Insight Training LLC, your best bet for fire service thermal imaging training, and our promotional partners, Dalmatian Productions, the Firehouse Tribune, Chief Miller Products and Sites, Hennessy Distributing, your choice for the cool towel, the Firefighter Cancer Foundation, the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, and the 2018 Great Florida Fire School. If you would like to be a guest with us or have a suggestion for a show, please send us an email to dalmatprod@outlook.com. We want to know that we're bringing you the topics that you are interested in. You can follow us on Twitter at dalmatprod or at @cause_origin, and on Facebook at dalmatprod or dalmatprodfire, and stay up to date with all the news about our podcast, Dalmatian Productions, and a blog at our website, www.dalmatianproductions.tv. I'm Steve Green. Until next time, stay safe, and let's make sure everyone goes home.